Hey guys, I'm Hannah Davis.
And I'm Jessica Kate, and welcome to Story Nerds, where two authors nerd out about our favorite stories. And this week we are talking about where we live being represented in pop culture. So, Hannah, kick us off.
Well, first of all, I have to show you guys Minnesota represent. I consider Minnesota my home state. However, I have spent a number of years in other states, including Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, and California, specifically the southern region of California, because if you're from California, you all know it's NorCal, SoCal, or sometimes the Central California region. So today, though, I'm representing Minnesota at this point in time, and I cannot talk to you about Minnesota. Most people's reference to Minnesota has to do with Fargo, which FYI is actually in North Dakota, though they filmed some of it in Minnesota, so there's that. But today I'm going a little different and I'm saying new in town. So if you guys don't know the movie, it's Renee Zellweger in this character who is from Florida, and she gets sent on her way to Minnesota to handle this manufacturing plant, and it is the funniest thing in the world. Just have to say that right off the bat because we all know that anyone from Florida cannot handle Minnesota winters, and that's exactly what happens when she's sent there. And there are so many Minnesota references, and because it's set in Minnesota, so many different things about Minnesota culture in this movie. So that's what we're going to talk about on the podcast. I also have to say that the movie is one of the most funniest, terrible grammar right here. It's a really funny movie and a really cute chick flick. Harry
It
Connick
is good.
Jr. also plays Renee Zellweger's romantic interest, and it is a funny one.
Yeah, so I have so Australia in pop culture, like it's a tricky thing. We're often so sometimes we're represented that accuracy is debatable. So I have just two quick things where I think that we are probably like most accurately represented, and they'll probably surprise you. So, first off, in books, Kara Isaacs' third book, Then There Was You, she has set that in Sydney. Her heroine is American. She is flying out to Australia, and on the flight, she meets the guy who is Australian, and it's basically set at a Sydney mega church. So, I mean,
Ooh.
Kara never specifies it. I think we can all assume, we all know of
Hillsong.
the Sydney mega church. So it's pretty much a fictionalized version of this. She essentially meets the equivalent of Joel Houston on the plane. He's the son of the
Ooh.
family. He
Yep.
runs the music, all that jazz. And so that was cool. I mean, it was a great book apart from the setting. Kara is a good rom-com writer. It was funny, it pulled at your heartstrings, had all those things. But as someone who, like, being an Aussie, I so rarely see where I live represented in the fiction that I'm consuming, whether
So
it's books
true.
or TV, and a lot of the American references probably just go over my head. I realized that the first time I visited America, I would see this stuff and I was like, wait, that's a reference in something, and I never got that before. And I realized that I'm missing a lot. So to see it in a book, and like I've been to the Hillsong Conference, so the book ends with this like climactic scene at their women's conference. So it was so easy to picture in my head as you're reading it, like, you know, I've seen these people speak, I've sat in that stadium, I know what it's all like, and it was really cool. It makes such a difference, and it's probably something that like Americans probably take it for granted that your home country is represented so much in the
It's
culture that
so
you
true.
have.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we
Yeah.
represent a few handful of countries that are represented, but yeah, the majority of movies that I see are definitely set in the United States. So, getting that little taste of Aussie land, the land down
That's it.
under, the land
We need
down
a bit.
under.
Need some. That sounded British.
Never be one for
Need some
accents.
crossover. But yeah, it's nice to see different places. And that's what made
Yeah.
Black Panther so cool. It was awesome to see an African nation, albeit a fictional one, represented. It's just cool to like see different stuff. So yeah, I really like that about that book. And my other one is Rebel Wilson's character off Pitch Perfect. She's an Aussie. It's not a major factor in the movie, but
Australia.
she's just She has an Australian sense of humor, and when what cracked me up is she takes a crack at Tasmania in it, and I feel like that's one of the things, all the things that go over my head, this probably went over Americans' heads, I don't know. At one point at the start of the movie when she's introducing herself, she says something about being like the best actor in Tasmania with teeth. And we lost it when we heard that.
I've never noticed that before.
It's one of the Australian states. It's a little island that sits off the bottom of Australia, and Australian states have a very like sibling rivalry thing going on, and we love to rip on Tasmania because they're an island and we make lots of jokes about them. And so to say that, we lost it. It was great.
I so need to watch Pitch Perfect just with you so I get those references. But can we just take 2 seconds and just do Crush It together? Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Crushed it.
Crushed it.
You guys, if you haven't seen Pitch Perfect, like, go see it. Rent it. It's great. Classic, classic movie where you can just, like, drop all those quotable lines. Yeah. All right. Jessica, tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah. So, sorry, the Skype glitched a little bit. What did you say again?
Go figure. This is the problem, you guys, with having to talk with somebody on the other side of the world. You have to use Skype. And sometimes there are technology problems. Yeah, just want to hear about your the Rebel Wilson, some of those things that came out in Pitch Perfect. Start off with that.
Yes, yeah, so she has her crack about Tasmania, and that was probably the biggest one from her in that movie. But another one that has snuck through into a blockbuster movie, which I don't even know if this like came into the American version of the movie, Thor Ragnarok. So what a good movie, hilarious.
Yeah.
So it had a lot of Aussie humor in it, and sort of the Australian and also like a bit of New Zealander sense of humor in. Obviously, it stars Chris Hemsworth, an Australian. They filmed it at the Gold Coast, which is like 2.5 hours down the road from where I live. And it's where my parents live. I'm there all the time. And
stop being so, I'm there all the time.
So there's a theme park called Movie World next to the movie lot. So I ride the roller coasters and I try and like look over to the sound stages and just like see what's going on down there.
As we all do when people are filming.
Yeah. So anyway, he's Australian. The director is a New Zealander, so a lot of that humour ended up getting into the movie. And at one point, Thor is being held captive by the bad guy of the movie, and he's trying to strike a deal for his freedom. And the right-hand woman of the bad guy, he offers this deal, and the chick goes, "Tell him he's dreaming." And we cracked up because that is a reference to a classic Australian movie called The Castle. It's made in like the late 90s. If you want to learn about Aussie culture, then go to Google Play, watch The Castle. It's great. It is about like a little part of Australian culture. Well, it's a pretty big part of Australian culture. They're called bogans. I think that's an Australian word. So to explain what bogans are,
what
they're
is kind a bogan? Of
like they're like probably people who don't have a lot of class. So there's another Australian show called Kath and Kim, much less class than you, but they're funny. We look upon them with kind of a sense of affection and sometimes disgust, but, you know.
Those poor bogans.
Pretty much, you know.
Learning about Australian culture right here.
It's about, this family, and they're such bogans, and the dad is always like, they're always looking up these deals in the Trading Post because these are like pre-Craigslist or Gumtree internet days. And they'll be like always looking up these cheap deals for random rubbish. And he'll be like, "How much is it?" And the son will say, and then he's like, "Tell him he's dreaming." Doesn't matter what the price is. And he says it like heaps of times in the movie. So Australians will like offer a deal and stuff, and someone will yell out, "Tell him they're dreaming." And we all get it. And
now,
so when
now
we
I
feel
understand.
That,
I need to
when
see
we
that
saw that in a Marvel movie, we were like, "What? How did this make it into Marvel?" Like, my friends and I were speculating if they changed the line, maybe for the American version. We don't know, but
this is something that I was just discussing with my roommates. Actually, random fact: Thor Ragnarok, they allowed a lot of ad-libbing lines as they were shooting. Mm. Like, a lot of it wasn't completely scripted, so it makes sense given Chris Hemsworth's Australian culture right there, all those references getting through. So that's super fun. I never knew that. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Now so you want to learn about my country, watch The Castle. And if you're feeling super adventurous, there's a TV show called Kath and Kim. Oh my gosh, bogans right there. America tried to do a version of it and it never worked, but
Who?
The Australian version. It's called Kath and Kim. It's about this mother and daughter who live in like some dingy suburb of Melbourne, I think. And they're so bogans. Every time they try and say Chardonnay, they call it Cardonnay. And Kath's husband or boyfriend, Kel, he's a power walker, and he wears these like really little tight short shorts and does this weird power walk down the street. And it's just full of like stupid rubbish like that. And it is classic Australian viewing.
Oh man, you heard it here first, guys. Cat
You
calf
go.
like CATH.
Yeah, KATH, but yeah, Kath and
Okay,
Kim.
Kath and Kim.
Yeah, so here we
Interesting.
go, learning about cultures here, folks.
Yeah.
So, tell me about Minnesota. Like, is the stuff that you see, like when I watch New in Town or like all the Minnesota references in How I Met Your Mother, because Marshall's obviously
Yep.
from Minnesota.
Minnesota.
How
Okay.
accurate is it? Like,
First off, let's just go with that, the How I Met Your Mother, because there's a scene in How I Met Your Mother where he's watching a Vikings game, and basically it's not going well. And anyone who knows me knows I love the Minnesota Vikings. Skol, you want me to sing this? Skol Vikings, let's win this game. Skol. No, I won't sing the whole song. But I have to mention this because it is so true for all of us Minnesotans that we get so close and then it never happens for us. So for all of you
I heard
Aussies,
that.
if
I
all of
spent
you,
1 week in Minnesota and I
yes.
knew that that's what happened to the Vikings.
All
Like, yeah.
the time, every year, without so. But here's the thing: I am a hopeless Minnesota fan. I'm loyal through and through. And someday, we are going to make it to the Super Bowl and win. For those of you who are especially Aussies or don't know anything about football culture, it is one of those things where the Minnesota Vikings really, we may have a great year every once in a while, but even in that great year, we will never make it to the Super Bowl, which is the football game of the year. And so
Reggie.
that's something I have to mention. And the Vikings are also included on New in Town, which is a movie that I teased earlier. So you guys, New in Town is so funny. And I think half the reason why it's so funny is the fact that there are so many Minnesota references that make us laugh, but it's all about like laughing at an outsider coming in, which sounds so terrible when you think about it. It's like we're all just gonna laugh at the new girl. I've been that new girl. But it's really funny. You guys, I used to live in Southern California, and one of the things that still to this day makes me laugh is when people from Southern California complain about the cold, and I'm like, do you know how cold it gets here? For the record, I think this winter actual temperature was negative 27 degrees
Oh my
Fahrenheit
goodness.
when we were headed to church on a Sunday morning with at my grandparents up north over New Year's weekend. And my
That's
cousins.
insanity.
Yeah, well, that's what everyone thinks, but it's in Minnesota. It's just another Friday or Sunday, in that matter.
So,
Of
like,
course,
nowhere
we
in
do.
Australia gets anywhere near that.
Oh no, not even close. But I mean, of course, we do complain about the cold. We're not completely, just oblivious to it. So we definitely complain about the cold. But I mean, it doesn't faze us to that degree. So when Southern Californians start complaining about the cold, when I lived there, it was, I think, the worst temperature that we got when I lived there was probably 37 degrees Fahrenheit, which is, I mean, for Southern California, that's definitely cold. I'll give them that. But I just
Yeah.
remember watching the newscasts while I lived was there, and they were complaining about the cold, and one of them said, soccer practice was spent in sweatpants today. And I'm like, soccer practice in sweatpants. Oh my goodness, how horrible it must be for you. And while I was watching the newscast, it was funny because he wasn't wearing any like winter garb, but he's bundled up, but you couldn't see the breath coming out of his mouth. And that was just like
Yeah.
the weirdest thing for
Can't be
me. I was like,
that
if it's cold, why can't I see your breath? Like, that's a weird thing. So there are certain things that that did make me laugh about the movie. So the immediate thing for the character in You in Town is the cold. It's the funniest thing because she steps out of the airport and she has this tiny little jacket on, and it's kind of like a cute little like chilly in the office day, like you would put it on if it were like 50, maybe 50, 55, or maybe just to keep warm in a chilly office or something like that. And she steps out of the airport. Before she steps out, she goes, "How bad can it be?" She steps out. And I remember watching this with my family for the first time, and she steps out and she screams inexplicative and then hurries back inside. And I think it was just the funniest thing to me because it's like, okay, well, yeah. The rest of the movie, there's a lot of references to cold, and so that does get me to giggle. But certain things like ice fishing, I watched this movie with Southern California friends, and they were like, "Is that even really a thing? Like, do you know what ice fishing is, Jessica?"
I learned about it when I was there. So, like, we watched the movie and then we're talking about
Yep.
all those things. And yeah, like, these people are driving out onto frozen
Right.
lakes. And
Yep.
then I think we were watching, like, I can't remember if it happens in the movie or if we were watching YouTube videos afterwards of, like, someone's ute, I call them. I think you guys call them pickup trucks. Someone's ute were, like, fell through the ice
Yes.
and they were
Yes.
trying to get it out. And
That
I was
wasn't in the movie,
like,
but
it's
it
been.
totally happens all the time because
Oh
people are
my goodness,
idiots and leave them
it's
on there too late,
terrifying.
but
So Australia
yep.
barely even has snow, and what snow we
Yep.
have is mostly man-made. Like, we don't get anything freeze over, so it's completely foreign to us.
It is really funny because I love being able to walk onto the lake and being like, "Yeah, I walked on water." I'm like, "Jesus." But yeah, ice fishing is totally a thing. So when they had an ice fishing scene when she drives out into the lake, that kind of does get really funny though, because they had this whole scene where she complete it was a deleted scene actually. And my family, like, we all laughed hysterically at that deleted scene, and we kind of wish that they had kept it in just for laughable sake, but it is a little overdone. Obviously, you can't talk about Minnesota without the accents. I totally get that. I never used to think we had accents. My entire life growing up, I was like, "No, we say everything correctly. Why? No." And then I moved to Southern California and I spent some time away from Minnesota, and now I hear it so much. And my Southern Californian friends would make me say boat. So, Jess, how do you say boat?
But
Boat. Okay, so it's a little like, it's Australian, right? So my Southern California friends, I would say the word boat, boat with a big O.
they say
Boat. I would be like boat, and they're like, "Just a boat." I don't know. Maybe I'm not even saying it correctly. I bet you that I've totally lost my Southern California accent now, and I'm straight up back to Minnesota.
See, to
But
me, I hear your voice and I don't really hear that. To me, the really strong Minnesota accent, like what you hear in the movie, and I heard a little bit with some people when I was actually in the state, it's almost like it has that tiny bit of Swedish influence on it, like
oh, it
just that
definitely
kind of
does.
rhythm to
Yep.
it. Yeah,
Yep.
that's what I don't hear that when I talk to you, but yeah, in that movie, I was like, oh man, these people, like, they sound like they're half Swedish or something.
Yes. And oh, the main actor who plays shoot, I can't remember her name. Oh.
Renee Zellweger.
No, the other character. I'm totally blanking on her name right
There
now,
we
but it's the main Minnesota lady who plays her. Oh, heaven's sake. I'm just your secretary, you know. Oh yeah. And that, I mean, the way she plays it, I don't think she's even from Minnesota. I think she's from like upstate New York, but she pulls it off so
Gets it, yeah.
well. And I mean, to be really honest, in the area that I live, you don't hear it as much. It may be a lot more faint than it may still be there, but just a lot more faint than you would think. But in the area where I grew up, which is northern Minnesota, it is Swedish territory or Norwegian territory. All of those homesteaded areas have, especially the older folk, have such thick Minnesota accents. I can tell you, like, off the top of my head, at least five people I know that if you want to go talk to them, you're going to have a great time listening to Minnesota accents. So.
I found that so interesting when I visited. We went up north when I was there, and yeah, just seeing how strong the influence still is
It
of
is.
something that, like, I'm assuming the people came from Sweden or
Yes.
Norway like
So
hundreds of years
the
ago,
majority of
like.
our ancestor they traveled over in the 1800s to Minnesota. So one of the towns that I'm actually a journalist for is the first town that the Sweden. Yes, I want to say it's from Sweden. It could be Norway, But I believe, yes, the first Swedish immigrants came to. So it's very much so still a Swedish town. There's what they call dalas, which is a horse that is decorated really beautifully, and it's a Swedish cultural thing. What I'm really disappointed in Newentown, there was one thing that I was hoping that they would include, and they never did, was the food. So Swedish culture specifically, it's lefse and lutefisk. Everyone knows in Minnesota you have your lefse and lutefisk dinners, and lutefisk is something you never want to taste or smell in your life.
Isn't that rotten fish thing?
Yes! So if you guys
Ah!
don't know what lutefisk is, you guys got to go look it up. Don't ever smell it or eat it because it's disgusting. And yeah, so, but the lefse, oh my gosh, I love lefse. Lefse is a potato flatbread that you butter and then you sugar, like with cinnamon sugar, you roll it up. And it sounds a little strange because you're like a potato flatbread, but oh my gosh, it's so good. Everyone from Minnesota knows a lefse dessert is where it's at. So that was one thing that I wish
So,
they included.
intersection of our two cultures, that rotten fish thing. There are Australian comedians named Hamish and Andy. They have a podcast. Also, if you want to hear Australia, listen to those two. They are the ultimate of Australian humour. They are the absolute kings of Australian radio, and they've just finished their radio show and gone to just doing the podcast. And they used to do a TV show, and they would have this thing called cultural eating, and they would travel to different places and eat gross food from those
Oh,
places. And when they did their European, the show was called Gap Year. And so when they did their European Gap Year, they ate that rotten fish thing. And oh my goodness, it was disgusting and hilarious.
so again, in the town that I covered, there were and I've seen this before, people have lutefisk eating contests to see how much lutefisk you
Ugh.
can eat. And traditionally, what I have seen at every contest is it's usually the older generation who's used to this and is eating this, and this is part of their heritage. And I mean, it's a part of all of our heritage, but they tend to do so much better. Whereas I've seen grown men cry quite literally, and also vomit quite literally into a bucket
Andy
because the
definitely vomited and quite possibly cried. Like,
yes. I mean, I understand the purpose of why it was made that way historically. I just don't understand why we still have to make it. Why is it just because it's like the worst thing in Minnesota and we have to keep that as the staple, or like this is like your initiation to be a Minnesotan is to eat lutefisk? I don't understand why we still do it, but I guess that's not for me to decide.
Oh man, that's nasty.
Yeah. And
So
I
final
can't
comment.
leave without at least mentioning the Mary Tyler Moore Show. That is an also an iconic Minnesota show, and don't have time to talk about that today, but Mary Tyler Moore was a classic, and we have a statue of her in downtown Minneapolis where she's throwing her hat, and it's cute. It's kind of a staple thing. So anyway, we should probably wrap up this episode. Jessica, what do you have left here?
So, final thoughts. I think the most famous things in Australian culture that are in pop culture are obviously like Crocodile Dundee. You have the Crocodile Hunter, Steve Irwin, who I loved, by the way. Okay, so these are two things that I love. Croc Dundee is hilarious and a good representation of our sense of humor. And Steve Irwin, while his accent was far stronger than most people's are, my accent is actually stronger than a lot of Australians because I grew up in the country. When I go to work here, like my workmates laugh at me and things that I say because I have a stronger accent than they do. And my friends swear that when I go back to the country or we go camping or something, my accent gets stronger. So while those two are like, they did a lot of promotion of Australia and yeah, their sense of humor are right on. But I think everybody now, every time I go to America, everyone's like, but how do you live with all the snakes and the spiders? So Australia has spiders. America has bears. We have anti-venom. You can't anti-venom a bear. Please, you're afraid of our wildlife. Your wildlife is like, holy
No comeback for that. Dang it.
I think that closes out our discussion on Australia and Minnesota in pop culture.
There could be a lot more that we could talk about, you guys, but I think for today, that's going to be it. Thanks for joining us on this podcast of Story Nerds, and we will see you next time.
Bye.